Hello, Sendai!
外国語情報番組多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は仙台観光国際協会センティアが英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語で毎月トピックを変えて情報をお伝えしています。今回の担当はニュージーランド出身のペイジと
アメリカ出身のタイラーです。
今月のテーマは優しい日本語の紹介と経験談です。今日は英語でお送りいたします。Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every monthWe broadcast seasonal topics and information to you from Cynthia in English, Chinese, Korean, and Easy Japanese. My name is Paige, and I'm from New Zealand.
And my name is Tyler, and I'm from America.
Today's topic is Easy Japanese and some of our experiences with it.Yasashii Nihongo, or Easy Japanese as it's known in English, is Japanese which uses words and phrases that take into account a diverse range of people, such as foreigners, who may not have a strong understanding of complex words or idioms. It's through this kindness and easy understandability that leads to smoother communication in daily life and in times of disaster. But the same also goes for English, so we also have simple English.Can you tell us a little about that, Tyler?
Oh, absolutely. Well, of course, English is a very popular language the world over, obviously because of the influence of America and English expansionism over the past 100 years or so. Everybody wants to learn it and speak it, but of course, everybody has their own levels. Some people are very good at it, and some people are still in the learning process. There are many people who still live in English-speaking countries, in America, for instance, and so we need to worry about being able to speak to people on a level that they can understand.So it's easier for them to live their lives. So any sort of paperwork that they have to do, or even just going and buying groceries, if we can help out and kind of work together and kind of help them learn and get better, then everybody will benefit as a result.
Having a positive experience really shapes the way that we learn and our motivation to want to learn more. In recent years, Easy Japanese has become more widespread all over Japan, and more people are becoming aware of it due to a number of reasons. So the beginnings of Easy Japanese actually arose from disaster, specifically the 1995 Hanshin Awaji Great Earthquake.Not only were many Japanese people affected, but also a large number of foreigners. It's believed that many people's understanding of Japanese or English was not sufficient, and important information did not reach people due to a lot of confusion.
Especially at the time, people didn't have that idea that there were really that many foreigners in Japan yet. But it wasn't until afterwards that they looked at the statistics of the people who died. Per capita, the number of foreigners who died was like more than the Japanese. So it became very apparent that the foreigners especially did not know how to deal with the disasters in Japan. And the only reason that would be possible is because, well, they don't really have the right amount of information in order to stay safe.
Words that are used during disasters are not generally heard in everyday life. For example, 高台に避難してください. Maybe some people might not understand 避難, but if you said 逃げる, 高いところに逃げてください, people would be able to understand this more easily, and not just foreigners.
Yeah, even in America, of course, if we have people who maybe have a hearing disability or a little bit older, and they can't understand people speaking so quickly, I'm at a fast pace. Every once in a while, I might speak a little bit too quickly to people, and even my own grandparents, I would have to slow down some time. So that's a very good point to make. It's not just foreigners who can benefit from this, but also many people who live in Japan as well.
So another instance where Easy Japanese is of great use to our daily lives is when doing procedures at places such as the ward office. So procedures are often very complicated and are filled with a lot of difficult words. And we all have times when maybe we're not in the best of shape and are struggling to get the right words out or cannot focus. Is there any experience that you'd like to share where you were unable to extend something that was particularly difficult?
Oh, yes. Well, recently, I would say, well, I've gotten very good at speaking normal Japanese and Japanese in the office, for instance. I still don't have very many chances where I can go to the doctor's office. But then I also had to have an EKG attached to my chest. And they sat there explaining about this and what things I should worry about.You know, I can speak Japanese decently well, but even after a while, I had been there for however many hours, and I was just kind of getting zoned out, and I found myself saying, oh, hi, 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 even though I wasn't understanding, and I caught myself, because I realized that they were explaining something important to me. I'm sure many foreigners have had this experience where they kind of say, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, and they kind of understand it, but not really. But it's very important, I think, for foreigners in particular, to understand that what they're hearing they're not understanding 100%. And at that point, no matter what level you are, you need to understand things, especially when it's about medical procedures.
You have to not only remember these things in Japanese, but then also you have to think about it maybe in your own language as well, so sort of translating it in your head. So it can be really, really difficult. I've had an experience at the bank. I was very, very tired and I wasn't feeling so well on the day, and I had to open a bank account. And I think I had to fill in the form maybe 2 or 3 times because I couldn't even write my name properly. And the bank staff were very, very kind, and they actually went through and they, you know, explained things to me in more simple terms. It can be a little bit confusing, and you have to write your name so many times. And
yeah, then if you mess up in just one little spot and you can't correct it, then it's, oh, well, you have to redo it now. So, I know I've had that happen plenty of times.
Yeah. So it's really frustrating, but I was able to make it through and open my bank account. Not only is easy Japanese good to use among foreign people, it's also good for Japanese people as well, such as children and, as Tyler said earlier, elderly people or those who have learning disabilities. Easy Japanese has many different ways and places it can be used. There is a lot of information that needs to be passed on and learned in both as day-to-day lives and in times of disaster. So with just a little bit of consideration, you can effectively communicate with more people. Next, we have some top tips for easy Japanese. Is there anything you in particular find useful when you speak in easy Japanese or when someone is speaking to you in easy Japanese?
I would probably say the thing which is most important to me is being able to chop up your long sentence into shorter sentences. This is important in English and also in Japanese when you want to be clear and concise. And I've especially noticed this when I'm doing interpretation, for instance. If somebody speaks for an entire minute and then asks, okay, do you have any questions? Well, the person you're speaking to, if they're not really that great at the language, they're still going to be on the first 10 seconds of what you said. And it is important to put gaps in your sentences and try to just use one subject, one verb, and of course, when you are speaking, to not use very difficult words as well. So that they can kind of, the person you're speaking to can stay on the same pace that your mind is going. The problem is that when a lot of people, and especially if you go to City Hall or Ward Office, well, they have a long line of people behind you, and they've been doing this every single day, and so they're just trying to get that information out as quickly as possible, whether they see a foreigner in front of them or a Japanese person in front of them. And so I know it can be daunting, but it is important from the person who doesn't understand that well to make sure that they state properly. Can you please speak a little bit slower or just try to shorten your sentences?
And of course, there's also no one right answer when it comes to easy Japanese. So just making the effort as well is a really big step in the right direction. A few tips that I have is definitely speaking slowly and more clearly. It's very easy. There's lots of homonyms in Japanese. It's very easy to get things confused. So,
funny you mention that homonyms. One of my favorite ones that I think about, especially when it comes to disaster safety and evacuation, is the word futsu. And this happens when trains will stop and they're unusable because of a hurricane or because of a tsunami. The people will say, densha wa futsu desu. So densha is train, and then futsu means you can't use it and not in operation. But normally when you use the word futsu, it's, oh, it's normal, it's fine, no problems. When they say, oh great, the trains are running, and then when you try to get on it, oh no, futsu desu, futsu desu. I'm like, what do you mean, it's fine? Well, what they're trying to say is that you can't use them.
Another tip is not using honorifics or keiwo too excessively. For example, onamae wo ukagatte mo yoroshii deshou ka? But many people, especially when they're first learning Japanese, they don't learn about ukagao or yoroshii. It's more of a higher level grammar pattern from a learning perspective. So an easy way to change this is onamae wa nan desu ka? It's much simpler and easier to understand.
This is probably something which is harder, I think, because a lot of times when people are using this, they're working kind of from a service perspective, so they're trying to be very polite to them. And at first, it might be hard to use that, letting me right out of college, but after a while, they use it all the time. So it's actually, they almost have kind of a mental block of stepping down, because it's almost like being rude at that point. You're being too direct, so it's just kind of a cultural, almost a block as well.
Definitely. If a foreigner approaches you and are asking you something in Japanese, you can kind of gauge their level of Japanese and maybe step down or step up depending on the way that they're speaking with you. And another good tip is not using vague terms. It's much better to be frank and straightforward, as it's less confusing.
Yeah, Japanese do like to dance around difficult topics. They don't like saying things directly. For example, if somebody says that they cannot attend, they'll say, ちょっと難しいですね. It's kind of difficult. And rather than just saying, oh, sorry, I can't go. Especially when you use it to people who are used to things more direct, like Americans just like to come out and say things.
By cutting straight to the point, あ、いらないです, it's not necessarily rude, but it conveys your point more directly. And how about katakana English? Do you find katakana English more difficult or easy to understand?
Well, it depends on whether or not they're using the full word or if they're using a conjunction of two words. If they're going to use pasokon, for instance, well, that's a term we use a lot. It's a conjunction of personal computer. Or, I don't know, porikori, which is like political correctness. If you don't know that word and you haven't heard it, it's difficult. But if they were to use the word computer or terebi, for instance, that sounds pretty close to what it is in English. The problem is that sometimes these words just become so long, like, I don't know, presto or something, where it's like brainstorming. And especially for people who are not native English speakers, this can become very much of a problem.
An example I noticed of this, I had a reconfirmation, and I had to look a few times to understand what this was because it was so long. And why didn't I just get a 確認メール? You know, it's much easier for people. And I thought reconfirmation was also quite bad from the perspective of if a Japanese person was receiving this, especially an elderly person, they may not understand reconfirmation. As an English speaker, of course, it took me a few times to read it, and I was like, oh.
You know, like you said, reconfirmation.
Or like rebound.
Yeah, rebound. Inbound. Even now, like in...
inbound is...
If you say that to an English-speaking person, oh, we need more inbound. No one's going to even know what you mean, because it's wasei eigo, it's a Japanese-style English. So that's why sometimes, like you said, it's easier just to use Japanese rather than these strange katakana words.
I'm sure many people have seen outside of Japanese restaurants, they'll often have, you know, these little food models outside. So these are a method of communication to the customer, and it makes it very clear what you are ordering. So using these kind of pictures or even models as visual cues are really great, really good supplementary cues to go along with what you're saying. So some tips for writing are using furigana above kanji and making sentences short and maybe listing the items. This depends on country, but some people use 24-hour time. Some people aren't so good at 24-hour time. And often, for example, at karaoke places, you often see open until 26 a.m. or 26, which is, you know, 2 a.m. It's, you know, past the 24, but normally in 24-hour time, it stops at zero. So we don't say like 24 o'clock or 18 o'clock. We normally, in our heads, we have to, 6 o'clock. We have to, you know, do some math equations in our head. So definitely putting things into, for example, saying morning 9 a.m. or 午前 9時 or 午後9時. Differentiating between, you know, morning and night or morning and afternoon is very useful for us. So we've shared many of our experiences here today. Now, of course, some people may speak the same as a native level speaker, and some may only know a few words here and there. We're all at a different point in our learning journey, and we all have different circumstances as well. But what remains the same is that we all started with, you know, next to nothing, and we have worked our way up. So there are no announcements from Cynthia today. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in again next time.